You've had your chance. Let's go. Thank you. I'm sorry about this, but life is life.
This is our life.
I know it is. Off we go. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Don't have me take your name. I don't want to do it.
Gardaí on Henry Street in Dublin swiftly broke up the demonstration. It was staged in protest of the way in which Debenhams bowed out of the Irish market. Shop steward Jane Crowe says they cleared their plan with a number of local Garda stations beforehand, but this was disputed by Gardaí on the ground.
They're saying it's non-essential. To us, this is essential. We were all going to keep our safe distance. We've gloves, we've masks.
Debenhams staff believe the retailer used COVID-19 as an opportunity to bail out of Ireland without paying redundancy packages. These workers say they're devastated.
They're more like family than work colleagues. And all of a sudden, the whole family is ripped apart.
Robbed. Disgusting. Can't do that. Can't get away with it. My family and a mortgage like everybody else. It's not right.
A similar protest planned for outside the Cork store on Patrick Street concluded peacefully, with Gardaí said to have been supportive and understanding. 98FM, first for Dublin News.
Tests are being carried out on body parts found in a bag in Coolock last night. Gardaí believe the arms and legs may belong to a teenager involved in drugs who'd been threatened. 98FM's Casey O'Riordan has the latest.
Two arms and two legs. That's what was discovered by a local resident in Coolock at 10 p.m. last night. Gardaí have yet to identify the victim, but one line of inquiry being pursued is that it could be a teenager who's involved in the drug trade. The inquiry centres around a threat made to the teenager that he would be killed and dismembered. Despite the gruesome discovery, these locals say they feel safe in the area.
It's not only here, it's everywhere south of the
town. No, I've never had any problems here walking in over these things. It bothers me, you know.
If I had a young family, you know, I'd certainly be concerned, you know what I mean?
Local councillor John Loynes says young people getting pulled into the drug trade is a serious problem in the area.
10, 11, 12-year-olds have been groomed into becoming runners for these drug dealers. They're being forced into accumulating a small drugs debt, which then means that they become part of that world.
Casey O'Riordan in Coolock.
Casey, I've seen some of the pictures that you put up on Twitter, and on a Monday morning at the start of January, not a pretty picture.
It's not a pretty picture. I'm just after walking down what's known as Fisborough Lane here, just off the North Circular Road. So I'll describe to you the rubbish as I walk to my right. There's a lovely pair of black corded trousers. This is just starting off nice and easy. A beer bottle there, another can of beer here, some cider. And then we turn the corner and there is a massive bin bag of rubbish, sweets, food that's been attacked by seagulls. So that's everywhere, basically. Someone's onions and revenants with their dinner. There's another big bin bag of stuff, more bottles, more cans, cardboard boxes that have been soaked and are now mulched into the ground. And then what looks like a perfectly good functioning buggy, which I'm sure a charity shop would have been delighted with. It has all its wheels, looks like it's working fine, and some dirty discarded nappies. And that's just one tiny corner of Fibsborough at the moment.
I'm looking at the photographs and the buggy does look in perfect nick, but
perfect
just
nick.
Flung on the street there. Ironically,
from a charity shop as well.
Ironically, Casey, this dumping right beside a sign saying no dumping.
Yes, a lovely. this is a known problem in this particular corner. When this survey came out last year, I visited this spot. This spot was brought to my attention by a county councillor, and it was in a mess at that stage, and she walked me through all the problems they have. So it was one of the first places I decided to revisit when this survey came out and named the North Inner City again. And nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. The same signs are here, the same threats of, you know, fines, but, you know, there's no cameras installed that they were calling for at the time. The area isn't being patrolled. You know, nothing has changed at all.
So the exact sign reads, well, it reads Osquelga first, and then it says, no dumping, offenders will be prosecuted, Dublin City Council. And beside it, a boogie.
So this area is now under, there's actually a second sign as well I'm reading of. This area is now under constant video surveillance. But I can't see a camera anywhere. There's no cameras. So I'd love to know where they are.
And what's that basket? Where was that basket? The baby's basket.
That's
in Fisborough as well.
That's just around the corner, and it's actually in front of a charity shop. But, I mean, I don't know if the charity shop just aren't accepting it because it's absolutely rain-soaked now and there looks to be kind of discarded undesirables in it. But it's just sitting on the path. You know, I don't know whose responsibility it is to pick it up.
Right, so the Irish Business Against Litter survey, from what you've seen just this Monday morning, Casey, is 100% accurate.
Very accurate, I would describe it as.
All right, Casey O'Riordan, thanks very much indeed for talking to us.
An addiction and homeless charity says it's confused by the City Council's decision to block it from opening the city's first supervised injection centre. A number of schools, businesses and tourist attractions close to Merchants Quay Ireland complained about the plans. 98FM's Casey O'Riordan reports.
Merchants Quay Ireland was awarded the tender for a safe injection facility in 2015 by a working group which included Dublin City Council. But now the council has refused permission for the facility, saying there's already too many addiction services in the Dublin 8 area and that it would negatively impact on tourism. Chief Executive of Dublin City Council Owen Keegan says MQI also failed to outline how they would address the antisocial behaviour in the area.
If you were to make a case to put it in this area, there's an onus on those promoting this to address the kind of spillover antisocial behaviour impacts.
Mary Lynch from MQI says it's beyond their remit to police the streets and that centres like these have proven to reduce antisocial behaviour.
It actually is a positive move to have a facility like that so people can inject safely off the streets, and it should make the public feel safer and it reduces drug litter on the streets.
Merchants Quay Ireland says it will review Dublin City Council's decision and consider their next steps. 98FM, first for Dublin News.
Greg O'Shea says he can't wait to bring Amber for a pint of Guinness when she visits Limerick. The Rugby Sevens player has returned home after the pair won Love Island almost 2 weeks ago. 98FM's Casey O'Riordan has more.
Hundreds of screaming fans lined the Love Island-themed arrival hall at Shannon Airport this morning to welcome home Greg O'Shea. The Love Island theme song blared as the Rugby Sevens player walked through the arrival hall doors. He was overwhelmed by the welcome.
I honestly am speechless. That many people, I can't even count them. I literally just thought my family and friends would be here.
He coupled up with Amber Gill to win the show just 2 weeks after entering the villa. He already knows what he wants to do when she comes to Limerick.
Oh, I'd love to bring her just to have a pint of Guinness in some quiet pub somewhere. She's never had Guinness before, so that'll be a big one.
These fans were lucky enough to get some selfies with Greg.
So nice, so lovely, so tanned, and I'm shaking, yeah. It was buzzing, like, it was so hectic. Like, everyone was so excited to meet him.
The farmers had agreed that they would leave when they met with Minister Michael Creed, the Agriculture Minister. Now, the Minister came down to the picket line this morning informally to meet with them. They weren't happy with that. They wanted more of a formal meeting. So he did invite five of them in. Five representatives were elected to go and meet the Minister of the Department. That meeting has been and gone. But the farmers here are still not happy with the outcome and are saying that they will not be leaving Dublin City anytime soon.
So what exactly are they looking for? This is a kind of a them and us situation. Unless you're a farmer in North Dublin, the average Dub hasn't really a clue what this is all about.
Well, I suppose it is quite complicated. It's to do with beef prices. And as you know, we had a lot of blockades at meat factories all over the country during the summer. That was all kind of settled with a few kind of terms and conditions. So a beef task force was supposed to be set up. But injunctions that factories put on protesting farmers had to be dropped. So all of them but two have been dropped. And that's what this focuses on. Two injunctions remain by one factory. So two farmers are still can be pursued by this factory. And so farmers basically aren't happy because A, two of their farmers can still be pursued legally, and B, it means the task force can't get up and running, which in turn means that they can't start getting paid more for the price of their animals.
Okay, so they demanded a meeting with the minister. The minister met with them as they requested, but they still haven't left. So what is going to happen now?
Yeah, well, the minister, I suppose, upset them yesterday. He made comments in the Dáil about how the factory that is at the centre of this is called C&D Foods. They're based in Longford, and they have not dropped two injunctions against two farmers. And the reason they haven't is because they're technically don't come under the umbrella of Meat Industry Ireland, because they're actually a factory that produces dog and cat food. So the factories that are under Meat Industry Ireland did drop the injunctions, but this C&D Foods haven't. So that's what it kind of centres around. So Minister Creed basically couldn't tell them in the meeting that he could get these injunctions lifted. So they're not happy with the outcome because nothing has really changed. They have, now the five that did meet agreed that they would leave, but it's independent farmers. So while some farmers are happy to leave, after meeting with Minister Creed, there's other farmers here that the five came down to the picket line after meeting with Minister Creed to relay to the other farmers that were there what was going on. But they were just roaring and shouting. They're not happy that basically these injunctions haven't been lifted and this task force isn't set up. What the farmers had met with Minister Creed agreed was that they would leave and that the task force had to be in place by the 15th of December. And if not, they would be back with 10 times the amount of tractors on that date, you know, busy Christmas shopping. It would really be a disaster at that stage. So the reason they're not leaving is because they basically haven't got what they wanted today, which is what they really want to see.
So are they going to stay until they get what they want?
I mean, that's what they're saying there. But, you know, as I said, there are some farmers that say they will go. But there are other farmers that say they're going nowhere. So it'll just remain to be seen. I mean, I can still see dozens of tractors there. I haven't seen any movement just yet. And this meeting has been over an hour.
Lisa Smith has been charged with being a member of the terrorist group ISIS. The 38-year-old mother of one from Dundalk has been refused bail on the grounds she's a flight risk. She's due back in court next Wednesday. 98FM's Casey O'Riordan reports.
Lisa Smith is accused of being a member of the terror group ISIS. She appeared in court dressed in a burqa this afternoon. While she didn't address the court, she did summon one of her legal representatives during her bail hearing and they had a brief discussion. She was refused bail after Gardaí objected on a number of grounds. The court heard she converted to Islam after a period in her life where she suffered severe depression and was suicidal. Judge Colin Daly remanded Ms. Smith in custody to Douglas Women's Prison, where her legal team requested she be segregated from the general prison population for her own security.
A man has been arrested by Gardaí investigating the killing of a man in the city. The victim was stabbed to death in the North Strand area early this morning. 98FM's Casey O'Riordan is at the scene with the latest.
A 45-year-old man was stabbed to death in a quiet residential area called Clinch's Court in North Strand at 4 o'clock this morning. A second man was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. These locals were surprised to hear what had happened.
I'd be surprised if it could have happened again, I guess. Like I'd say, this is probably just a flash in the pan thing. So.
It is shocking, but in this area it is quiet, but sometimes it's not. You hear it beat again, killed by mountain.
Gardaí have arrested a 45-year-old man in relation to the incident and he's currently being detained at Mountjoy Garda Station. The scene remains cordoned off as crime scene investigators examine the area. Local councillor Christy Burke is concerned with the rise of knife crime in the city.
It's becoming very frequent that it's nearly being normalised with the amount of assaults and knife crime in this city.
A post-mortem is due to take place later today.
At 5, I'm Laura Donnelly. Gardaí are asking people gathering at the 40 Foot to go home. The popular bathing spot reopened today after being closed for the last 2 months due to COVID-19. From there, 98FM's Casey O'Riordan reports.
I'd come here probably 3 times a week anyway. I'm just looking forward to a dip now after we have a little picnic here.
When I just went for a drive and saw that it was open, so can I go for a swim? I always have the togs in the boots, so.
40 Foot regular is delighted to hear it's reopened. Signs that say COVID-19 swim and go greet you as you arrive to the 40 Foot in Sandy Cove, but the request was ignored by many attending the popular spot this afternoon. This swimmer admits efforts to socially distance were also poor.
I don't think it's great, if I'm being honest. Like, we saw a lot of people very close, like sitting down kind of on the beach around there. Like, not that I'm judging people, because I know it's been really hard. I do think that it's a bit dodgy.
Shortly before 3 o'clock, 4 Gardaí arrived and started approaching groups of friends.
Are you telling you to move on? Or?
Yeah, it's swim and go. They just said swim and go, they didn't ask anything.
Dunleary Rathdown County Council says its bathers' personal responsibility to practice safe physical distancing. 98FM, first for Dublin News.
As of today, it's a criminal offence to break rent pressure zone rules. Landlords who break them now face a €30,000 fine. 98FM's Casey O'Riordan reports.
If you live in a rent pressure zone and your landlord puts up the rent by more than 4% in 1 year, they're now committing a criminal offence. The Residential Tenancies Board has been given new investigative and sanctioning powers. Threshold CEO John Mark McCafferty says before now it's been a challenge for the RTB.
There were ways in which certain landlords might try to circumvent the rules and it was difficult for regulatory powers to pursue those landlords.
The RTB can also sanction landlords who lie about needing to end a tenancy, pretending they're selling the property, for example. Dublin renter Ross Madigan says this is what happened with his girlfriend's rental.
Her landlord got in touch and said that they were moving him out because they wanted to sell the house. Then a couple of weeks later, they moved out and they saw up on Facebook groups that they were moving 11 people into the same house.
Landlords who breach the rules could be fined up to €15,000, but they also are liable for the RTB's investigative costs of up to a further €15,000.
Britain's Duke and Duchess of Cambridge are winding down after the first of a three-day visit to Ireland. William and Kate have met the President, the Taoiseach, and have laid a wreath at the Garden of Remembrance. 98FM's Casey O'Riordan reports.
After touching down in Dublin Airport, the royal couple headed to the Arras to meet with President Michael D. Higgins and his wife Sabina. They discussed the importance of deepening the close relations between the people of Ireland and Britain. William and Kate then made the short journey to the Garden of Remembrance, where they bowed their heads as they laid a wreath and observed a minute's silence. A card on the wreath was personally signed by the couple and said, "May we never forget the lessons of history as we continue to build a brighter future together." These people waited at the Garden of Remembrance to catch a glimpse of the couple.
They were very serious and humble, you know, the Garden of Remembrance. So, like, I thought that was lovely, respectful.
And she waved at us from the car.
A guard of honour was formed by Defence Force cadets, which Sergeant Major Stephen O'Neill says takes weeks of preparation.
They would start into basic training with a number of rehearsals leading up to it and a number of rehearsals on the day.
The royal couple then travelled to government buildings where they had a private meeting with Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. They've now gone to get ready for a party this evening at the Guinness Storehouse hosted by the British Ambassador to Ireland, Robin Barnett.
A man and a woman have been killed in a car that crashed after speeding away from Gardaí. It happened on Butterfield Avenue in Templeogue overnight. 98FM's Casey O'Riordan is at the scene.
The nature in which the car was driving drew the attention of Gardaí. A patrol car pulled up alongside the vehicle at a set of traffic lights and it sped off. Gardaí indicated for the car to pull over, but it failed to do so. The driver lost control and crashed into a lamppost on Butterfield Avenue at around 1:30. Local councillor Pamela Kerr says the area wouldn't be considered a dangerous place to drive.
I was trying to rack my brains to remember any history of accidents, but I can't. So I'm not entirely clear on exactly the point it happened on, but not ordinarily along the avenue there. There is no history that I'm aware of.
The driver is described as having a bad driving history and may be a disqualified driver. The vehicle was not stolen but wasn't registered in the name of the man who was driving it. 98FM, first for Dublin News.
Katie Taylor has arrived home to a hero's welcome at Dublin Airport. The Bray boxer became the undisputed lightweight world champion in New York over the weekend. 98FM's Casey O'Riordan is at Dublin Airport.
Fans travelled from across the country to be there for the moment the undisputed lightweight world champion walked through the arrival hall doors. Katie Taylor greeted fans armed with her latest world title belt and spent up to an hour talking to them, taking selfies and signing autographs. She had this advice for all the young boxers who had come to welcome her home.
Don't let anyone tell you that you can't be something or you can't do something. Just go for it, and anything is possible when you're willing to work hard.
These girls travelled from Limerick overnight just to meet their idol.
She gave us the time of day to even sign twice for us.
Just spellbound by her. I still can't believe that we met her. She's just such an inspiration.
Her mum, Bridget, is thrilled to have her back on Irish soil.
Lovely to have her home for a few weeks, so I'm not thinking about her going back yet.
Casey O'Riordan, Dublin Airport.